Grace to you and Easter peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, beginning with the first verse as follows. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he had spoken to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Here ends our text. In the name of our risen Lord Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, what if farm animals could choose their owners instead of the other way around? Kind of a funny thing to think about, isn't it? Normally a farmer goes to a sale barn and picks out the livestock that he wants for his farming operation. But what if it were reversed? What if cattle, for instance, could choose the ranchers that would take the best care of them and feed them the best food? What if sheep could choose their shepherds, the ones who would lead them most certainly in safety and give them nutrition that is appropriate for them? Well, it's a ridiculous thought, of course. Animals are unable to distinguish the good from the bad. But we're not. When it comes to our spiritual shepherds, the religious leaders that we allow to speak to us, to whom we listen and from whom we learn, we Christians have choices. How can I tell which shepherds are good shepherds? Which preachers are reliable people I can trust to feed my soul spiritually and to guide me along the path to heaven? How can I tell the difference between them and the false shepherds whom Scripture tells me are so terribly dangerous to my soul? And with all the dangers that threaten a Christian nowadays, how can I even be sure that I'll ever make it through to heaven anyway? Well, if you've ever wondered about questions like that, our text for today has some answers for you. There is a way to ensure that you and your family have good spiritual leadership in your walk through life. That's why our theme for this morning is finding a good shepherd. One who preaches Christ is a good shepherd. Jesus himself is the good shepherd. The background for our text this morning is rather interesting. Jesus once again found himself in conflict with the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jews. Jesus had healed a blind man on the Sabbath, restoring sight to him. And these people were upset about it because he had done it on the Sabbath day, and technically it was work that he shouldn't have done on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus turns the table on them and says, you people are more blind than anybody. They claim to have religious knowledge. They claim to be spiritual leaders for the people. And yet they completely rejected the very Savior, the Lamb of God, whom the Lord sent to earth to redeem the people. Some religious leaders, instead of shepherding the flock of God, they were fleecing it. Instead of feeding God's sheep, they were taking advantage of them. Instead of guiding them to heaven, they were leading them to hell. What the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel was true. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The thing about it was that the Pharisees looked good. On the outside, I mean, they looked very upstanding and pious and righteous and they like to look that way in the eyes of their fellow men. So Jesus told this allegory about the shepherds. He wanted to give his people a surefire way to tell the true shepherds from the false, the godly leaders from the thieves and the robbers. The key, he said, is simple. One who preaches Christ is a good shepherd. In this allegory, the sheep, of course, stand for the people of God's flock, the believers. Jesus pictures them in a sheepfold, which in those days was something like a stone corral with a wooden gate or door on hinges, allowing access to it. Now Jesus said, here's how you can tell the true shepherds from the false. If you see somebody climbing up over the wall or sneaking into the sheepfold by some other means, then you know that person is a thief or a robber. Because he says the true shepherd always uses the door to get to the sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Get the point, of course. Jesus is the door. Anyone who claims to be a shepherd, a religious leader for God's people, he had better use the door. He had better come to God's people through Jesus Christ. That means he better come in the name of Christ. He better come preaching Christ, and he better come directing the people to Christ alone as the way of salvation. If he doesn't, Jesus says, you can mark that person right off as a false teacher, a robber, a thief. Well, that described the Pharisees of Jesus' day right down to the ground. And sadly, it also pretty well characterizes many of the false teachers of our day. The religious hucksters, the charismatic televangelists, and the most recent trend, the purveyors of the prosperity gospel. Those who say, join my mega church, send your money to me, and follow what I teach, and you will become wealthy. You'll have the big house and the big car. Your business will be a success. Well, many of these preachers may seem good and pious, and sometimes even their message sounds pretty good, but that's not the question. The question is, are they using the door? Are they, by their preaching, directing people to Christ and his cross, or are they directing people somewhere else? To them, perhaps, their ministry, whatever they happen to be supporting and underwriting at the time. Some of these preachers seem very sincere, and I'm sure many of them are. But if the focus of their teaching is not on the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, then what you really have is some very sincere false teachers. A false shepherd leading the flock, be it ever so sincerely, away from their Savior Jesus Christ. My Christian friends, do not shrug off the dangers posed to your soul by false teaching and these false shepherds. Their object, Jesus says, isn't just to deceive you and to rob you. Their final object is to destroy you eternally. If you don't think false doctrine is a very serious matter, Paul says you'd better wake up, because, he says, false doctrine is like cancer. Now, I wonder if you've ever heard someone say, the doctor says I have cancer, but I'm not too worried about it because just a little bit of cancer. I've never ever heard anyone say that, and you won't either, because everyone knows that even a little bit of cancer, even a microscopic amount of cancer, can kill you and will kill you if it's not cut out of the body. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So here's a sure way to look for a shepherd. Find one that uses the door. One who preaches Christ is a good shepherd. Of this kind of preacher, our Lord says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep will be reassured and will follow the voice of that kind of shepherd, because it is in reality the voice of Jesus himself. He speaks Jesus' words to them, adding nothing to them and taking nothing away from the words of Jesus. He nourishes them Sunday by Sunday with the pure word of God. And by the way, there's a very delightful promise for preachers here in this passage. Here's the surest formula, he says, for a successful ministry. Use the door. Preach Christ alone, and all will be well. Up until this point in the allegory, Jesus has pictured himself as a door, the door of the sheepfold. And if that seems like rather strange imagery to you, we'll move along now to an image that is much more familiar and much more comforting. Jesus next, in the last part of our text, portrays himself with a different image, one that is well-loved by every believer. No longer the door through whom all good shepherds go, but himself as the good shepherd. Jesus says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." If you're looking for a shepherd in your life, then don't ignore the obvious. There is one you can always depend on. Jesus is the good shepherd. Most of us probably have been believers since we were small children, and we get kind of used to hearing Jesus depicted as the good shepherd. I hope we're not so used to it, however, that we miss the full import and comfort of this picture. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." We've heard that often too, but stop and think about it for a moment. When you think about that, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I had several people in my former parish, farmers who had sheep, and they took very good care of them. They spent a good deal of trouble providing food and pasture for them and to protecting them from predators. Sheep, after all, are a valuable commodity, and it just makes sense to protect your investment. But what would you call a person who actually gave up his life so that his sheep could live? I don't think you'd call him the good shepherd, would you? I think you'd call him the crazy shepherd. It wouldn't make any sense at all to sacrifice a precious human life for the sake of dumb animals, would it? But my Christian friends, that's exactly what our Lord Jesus has done for us. He gave his life for us, the lost and straying sheep of his pasture. At this point, I'd like to call your attention to a very little word in the middle of our passage, the word "for." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's kind of a lame translation of the Greek right here, because in the original language, that little word doesn't really mean "for," it means "instead of" or "in the place of." The good shepherd gives his life instead of the sheep. So you see, it's really not a picture, say, of a shepherd bravely battling a wolf and giving up his life to protect the sheep. That's not it at all. This is a picture of a shepherd who goes to the slaughterhouse and volunteers to lay down his life so that his sheep can live. Make himself the offering instead of the sheep. And isn't that the exact picture that the prophet Isaiah paints of Jesus when he says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." As we heard a few weeks ago on Good Friday, Jesus went silently to his execution. He made no protest when the nails were being driven through his hands and feet, for he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that with his death on the cross, he was dying instead of us. He was taking our place, acting as our substitute, making the payment for our sins that you and I could never hope to make. The good shepherd gave his life instead of you giving yours. He bore the punishment of your sins so that you'd never have to bear it. He endured the agony so that you would never have to endure it. He was forsaken by God so that you could be reconciled to God. He went through hell on the cross so that he might open heaven to you. The Apostle Paul put it this way. You who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Are you seeking the Good Shepherd? Then you've come to the right place, because no one could possibly be a better shepherd and overseer of your souls than Jesus Christ. Do you have sins which burden your conscience? We all do. Bring them to the Lord Jesus. He is the Good Shepherd who with his blood has atoned for every one of those sins. Are you struggling with a particular sorrow in your life? Bring it to your Good Shepherd, for the psalmist says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Are you anxious about the future? Is there danger lurking along your path? Come to the Good Shepherd, for you will be able to say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Perhaps you're a straying sheep, someone who has spent months or even years wandering far from God. Come back to the Good Shepherd. He welcomes wanderers. For Peter says, you are like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Yes, come to Jesus Christ, for he himself is the Good Shepherd. He provides for all your wants and needs, physical as well as spiritual. One thing you know, if Jesus already sacrificed himself to redeem you, he's going to provide for all the other things you want and need in life, don't you think? He gave you forgiveness of sins. He's going to give you money to pay the electric bill. He shed his blood for you. He's not going to omit to put food on your table and give you a shelter in which to live. The very idea is ludicrous. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, Jesus said. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Nor is it only the bare essentials that our Good Shepherd provides us. On the contrary, the repast he lays before us is rich, particularly when compared with the hollow, self-seeking, spiritually empty lives of the unbelievers who live around us. The life our Good Shepherd gives us is spiritually rich and full and satisfying. That's why Jesus says in our text, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I saw a painting once that I particularly liked. Maybe you've seen the same one. It's a picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, with his shepherd's staff, leading a flock of sheep toward a distant destination. The sky is cloudy and lowering. The path is narrow and treacherous with steep drop-offs on either side. Nevertheless, you have the unerring sense that the sheep are perfectly safe. Jesus, with his staff, is guiding them unerringly toward their distant goal. My Christian friends, you are those sheep. You are the members of Jesus' flock. You are even now treading the thorny and dangerous path toward heaven. With all the dangers that beset your path and the perils that threaten you, it may seem to you almost as if you will never reach your heavenly destination. But take heart. You know how to find a good shepherd. One who preaches Christ is a good shepherd. Jesus himself is the good shepherd. And he has made you a promise that he'll never break. You'll find it in John 10, verse 28. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Amen. Please rise.